Well, good morning. Wasn't that fun? What a joy to see our kids up here singing and doing drama and just what a good time. I feel like we could just leave because that was just pretty much preach the whole message right now, right there. So what a joy it was to have our kids here this morning participating in this service out of the mouths of babes, right? It's just such a joy it is. And well, and for those of you that I have not got a chance to meet yet, my name is Lonnie. Hi, everybody. It's good to see you this morning. Welcome. Glad you're here. And if you're joining us online, I want to welcome you as well. And if you don't know, Christmas is only 10 days away. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Christmas is only 10 days away. And I'm excited for many different reasons. But one of those reasons is my baby girl, Kate, who is now a sophomore in college, is coming home tomorrow. So I'm excited that we'll have our whole family back together again. My wife, Rachel, and daughter, Claire, and her husband, Jake, and Kate will all be back together again. So praying for safe roads for all those who are traveling this holiday season. And speaking of the Christmas season, here in the church, we get the opportunity to celebrate Advent. We oftentimes call this season Advent, which is a Latin word that means coming or arrival. And during Advent, we celebrate the birth and the arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we also look forward with hopeful expectation to Jesus' coming back. So that's where that arrival and coming comes from. And the prophet Isaiah prophesied about a child being born and a son being given who is called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And as Matt mentioned earlier, our Advent sermon series is called, Who is This? And when Jesus calmed the storm in Mark chapter 4, the disciples asked, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Because the storm had caused the disciples to panic, and they didn't know what to do, and there was nothing that they could do. So I want to ask you this morning as we start off, to think back to a time when you have felt powerless. When is a time in your life when you have just felt powerless? I mean, there are many things that are out of our control. There are many things that we don't have the ability to do as humans, and it can leave us feeling powerless. And the people of Israel that Isaiah wrote to were experiencing tragedy and destruction and darkness. And in Isaiah 8:22, it says, Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. They were feeling powerless. And there's been times in my own life when I have felt powerless. And I remember back when Kate was just a baby, and when she was just a week old, she had to have surgery. And we were living out in Vancouver, Washington at the time, and we had to drive across the bridge to the big city of Portland, Oregon, to the large pediatric children's hospital there so that she could have surgery. And my biggest worry was the fact that she had to go under anesthesia. And there's this little fragile baby. And I know as a pharmacist just how delicate the doses need to be. And my biggest worry was that Kate wouldn't wake up. I felt powerless. There was nothing that I could do. And we all have times in our lives when we are powerless. And being powerless is scary. And Jesus' disciples experienced it with the storm. The people of Israel experienced it during the time of the prophet Isaiah. I've experienced it, and you all have your own examples. And we may be powerless by ourselves, but God is not. He is all powerful. And so as we read God's word this morning, I'm going to invite you, if you are able, to please stand with me, if you would. Please stand if you are able. And then I'm also going to invite you just to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and recall that time in your life when you felt powerless. And as you hear these words that are being spoken from God's word, I just want you to picture Jesus being there with you. This is in Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 6. It says, The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we look towards you this morning. Lord, we live in a dark world, but we are so grateful that you shine your light upon us, that your light dawns upon us in the midst of our struggles and in our darkness and our suffering. Each one of us come in here this morning, Lord, dealing with different battles in our lives. And we are grateful that you are present in those battles and that you draw near, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we just pray this morning that you comfort our hearts, that you give us hope this morning, that we are reminded of you, who you are, Jesus, and we walk out of here transformed, not because of what we do, but because of who you are and what you do. Our eyes are focused on you this morning, Jesus, and it's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So last week, we proclaimed Jesus the Wonderful Counselor. And this week, we focus on Jesus, our Mighty God. And I love how Boaz just shouted out, Mighty God! Wasn't that cool? I love that. The passion of our kids again. And Isaiah goes on to say in chapter 11, he says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And so last week, we considered the wisdom and the counsel of Jesus, who is that stump of Jesse. And this week, we ponder his might. And the Hebrew word for mighty is gabor. And it's mentioned over 150 times in the Old Testament. And it means strong or valiant or a powerful or a warrior or a hero. So it makes me ask you this morning, who is mighty in your life? As you think of those words, strong, valiant, warrior, hero, who is mighty in your life? Who would you consider to be mighty? Maybe it's a teacher or a coach or a parent or a grandparent or a boss or a coworker or a neighbor or a faithful friend who has been a hero to you and has done great things. And the Bible also talks about many mighty men and women. There's many examples that the Bible discusses of mighty men and women. And in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, it even mentions a group of people who were known as King David's mighty men. And these were the toughest military warriors who did heroic feats. And does anyone remember this animated character? Anyone know who this is? Mighty Mouse, okay. I hear Mighty Mouse, yeah. Mighty Mouse was a human-like rodent superhero that originated in 1942. So Mighty Mouse is now 82 years old. And he had superpowers that were vast and appeared to be limitless. And he also had this statement. His theme song was always, Here I come to save the day. You remember this? Yeah, oh yeah, good, yeah, yeah. But it just makes me think about how we desire a mighty superhero, even a human-like rodent, to fly in and to save us from all of our troubles. He is called Mighty Mouse. But yet there is only one who is the capital M mighty, and that is Jesus. Jesus is God, Jesus is mighty, and he is our mighty God, and he's the one who does the impossible. And as we feel powerless, Jesus is strong and powerful. He is our hero. As it says in Isaiah, for to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, doesn't that sound like somewhat of a paradox there? A child, A child. We often associate little children as being helpless, not being mighty or even much of a hero. Because children need their parents. They're dependent on others. I mean, babies need to be fed. They have a hard time just keeping their heads up. And a child's unstable when it's learning to walk, and it initially needs to rely on others to hold their hand. And kids learn things from others about how to do certain things, like throwing a ball or riding a bike. But yet this child born, this son given, is called a mighty God. I read somewhere where it said this. It said he's a helpless child who holds limitless power. A newborn baby without beginning or end. Fragile, yet strong. A defenseless boy, yet a deliverer. That is Jesus. And Jesus is God. And although fully human, born as a child, Jesus has been God from the beginning of time. He is fully God. And there are multiple references to God being great and mighty and awesome, because that's who God is. It's not about what he does. It's about who he is. He is a mighty God. And Moses says in Deuteronomy, he said, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." And Nehemiah says, "Now therefore our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes." And Jeremiah says, "Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds." You see the theme there? We have a God who is great and mighty. We have a God whose strength and power help us in our human weakness in times of feeling powerless. And one of my favorite examples of relying on our mighty God in Scripture is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah at the time. And he was told that a great multitude, a huge army, was going to be coming up against him, and he was afraid. And he responded by seeking the Lord and proclaiming a fast for the whole nation of Judah and praying fervently. And he prays, for we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. And we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat acknowledges that he is powerless, yet he turns his eyes to the Lord because he knows that the Lord is strong and powerful and mighty. He has confidence in the Lord, and he relies on the Lord's help and doesn't try to do it alone. He focuses on God's power and not his own. And Pastor Paul encouraged us last week to spend less time looking down and more time looking up. That's what the nation of Judah was doing here. Their eyes were on the Lord. But what do we do when we feel powerless? Do we acknowledge that we don't know what to do and turn our eyes toward God and ask for his help? Because when we are weak, he is strong. We are only human, whereas Jesus is fully man and fully God, and he is a mighty God, and he is stronger than we could ever be. And throughout the book of Mark, we've been learning about the authority and the power of Jesus, that he teaches with authority, that he drives out demons, that he heals the sick, that he calms the storm. And Pastor Matt previously gave us lessons from the storm in a sermon a couple weeks ago. And he mentioned that storms can appear to be powerful, but they are really powerless because God is far more powerful. And so when we feel powerless, especially during those storms in our lives, we have a God who is strong and powerful, and he is the hero that we need in order to calm those storms. And in addition to feeling powerless, there are times in our lives when we feel attacked. And as we feel attacked, God fights for us. He's our warrior. And so what battles are you facing this morning? What are the battles that you are dealing with as you come in here this morning? Because we all have different battles. Maybe it's peer pressure to do things that you know you should not be doing. Or maybe it's persecution for not adhering to some of those immoral, non-biblical cultural norms of our day to day. Or maybe you're battling an addiction such as drugs or alcohol or pornography. Or you're dealing with school lockdowns or trauma and abuse or a divorce of parents or caring for aging parents. Or maybe you're experiencing stress and burnout at work or at school or struggling with mental health issues. The list could go on and on and on, right? And there are battles that my own family is facing right now, and I'm also journeying alongside many others who are dealing with very tough, challenging hardships and suffering and darkness. And I feel that heaviness, and I feel that weight every single day. But I love to go back to 2 Chronicles, where Judah was in the midst of a battle. And it says this. It says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, all who live in Billings and the surrounding areas here at Faith E, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not ours to fight, but it's God's. But how often do we try to fight those battles by ourselves and it just leaves us frustrated and exhausted and angry? Yet we have a God who fights for us. And we can trust in him and we can cast our anxiety on him because he cares for us. And so let's ask God for help in our daily battles. And we can have confidence that the Lord will fight for us. And that's such an excellent reminder that we all need to hear this morning. Because King Jesus is prepared for battle. In Psalm 45:3, as it talks about Jesus, it says, "Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty." He does not leave or forsake us, but instead he directs us to wear his armor as he strengthens us for battle. Which makes me think of Ephesians chapter 6, which says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." So God is present in our battles. And he provides the strength that we need to fight those battles. Because we have human limitations, but God's strength can help us overcome our fears and our weaknesses. And he can ensure that his will is done and not our own selfish desires. And he provides the armor to stand against the devil's schemes. And he is the reason that we can stand firm. And so let's put on his full armor. And let's allow him to fight for us because he is a mighty God. And there are those battles that we face outside of ourselves. But yet there are also those battles that we fight within. We live in a broken world, but we are also broken people. And the weight of our sin can bring us down, and the consequences of our sin is death. But as we feel defeated by sin and shame, Jesus is mighty to save. He is our Savior. Amen. And Jesus laid down his life for us. And as he witnessed man's sinful ways, he didn't raise a white flag and surrender, but instead he raised a cross and he paid the price for our sins. And all who believe in Jesus are saved from sin and receive the gift of eternal life. And in Jesus' mighty ways, he defeated death because he is mighty to save. As we look back at that verse we read together earlier in Zephaniah 3, it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, and in his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Jesus delights in us. He loves us, and he rejoices over us with singing. We all need to hear that this morning. And no matter what we've done or what we're doing, Jesus offers us forgiveness. And he washes over our sin and shame, and he brings us to new life. He bears our shame. And his resurrection is also proof of him being a mighty God. It says in Ephesians 1, it says, "In his incomparably great power for us who believe." That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Jesus was raised from the dead, and unto us a son is given and is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly realms. And like a present day head of government, Jesus is the head over everything, and the government will be on his shoulders, as he is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion in the present age and the one to come. And as believers in Jesus, his church, we are the fullness of him. We are representatives of the mighty Jesus. And Jesus will come again in glory and grant us eternal life with him for all who repent of their sin and believe in him. Well, I recently read a post from a pastor named Ian Simpkins. Ian's the lead pastor of teaching from the Bridge Church in Tennessee. And he describes a piece of art that was done by his sister Grace Remington, and she made this with colored pencils and crayons. And this piece of art is called Mary and Eve, and I just want to read what he posted about this. He says, "This picture always moves me. The truth is, I've been Eve, intently aware of my brokenness and crushed by my own shame. And everything about Eve in this picture shows someone who is weighed down and exhausted for so many reasons, and maybe you can relate. And she's even still holding the fruit, clutching for dear life, the very thing that will only ever bring her death. But now look at Mary. She's not scolding Eve. She's not shaming her. She's not even saying, look at the mess that you've made. No, not only is she not doing those things, Mary's actually smiling. And it's not the kind of smile that's insensitive to the pain that Eve is carrying. No, it's the kind of smile you only give when you have inside information. Mary knows that Eve and all of us have contributed to this brokenness in the world, this fracturing of shalom. But Mary knows that redemption is growing inside her. The one who won't just make things okay, but will make things right. And even when Eve can't make the move toward healing, Mary takes her hand and she draws near. And that's what Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, does. He desires freedom for us so much that he didn't wait for us to come to him, but instead he comes to us, where he left a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt, in person, as one of us. He stepped from eternity and entered humanity, where the infinite became an infant in order to set us free. That's good, isn't it? Our God, our mighty God, calms the storms. He parts the seas. He fights our battles. He saves us from our sin, and he bears our shame. And so what is our response to such a mighty God? Well, first of all, we have the opportunity to accept the invitation of his gift of salvation, where every knee can humbly bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Savior and Lord. And second, we are strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit that dwells within us, where his mighty power is available to us today. Again, Jesus did not raise a white flag and surrender to our fallen world, but he raised a cross. He raised a cross to save us, and he calls us to surrender to him. And as we surrender to him daily, his power is made perfect in our weakness. And his grace is sufficient for us. And we look forward to Jesus coming again, riding on a white horse and seated on a white throne, bringing us to eternal glory with him, because he is our hero, our warrior, and our savior. And so our call to action comes from 1 Peter 5:6, where it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Well, what does that look like? Well, first of all, we must recognize the Lord's power, that he is all-powerful, that he is the mighty God. That's who he is. And we humbly acknowledge that our strength comes from him, not ourselves, and that we trust God in the battles and the storms of our lives, and we give him our worries and our concerns. And we seek Jesus' forgiveness of our sins, and we thank him for mightily saving us. And we ask for God's mighty hand to deliver us and to fight for us as he lifts us up in his due time. We are to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the prophecy that happened way back in Isaiah's time, Lord, so many centuries ago, where you described your son, Jesus, coming into this world to be our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, and we thank you for that, Lord. And God, I pray that if there's anybody in the room here this morning that doesn't know you yet, that has not put their faith in you yet, Jesus, that you just place that in their heart this morning, and that they are willing to put their faith in you for the first time today. And if there's anyone in the room here today that has never done that, who has not placed your faith in Jesus, who has not trusted in him to fight your battles, who have not asked him to save you, I pray that today is the day. And if that's you, I ask that you just say this prayer with me in your heart. That you just say, "Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I am a sinner in need of a savior. And I am sorry. But I also recognize, Jesus, that you do forgive our sins, and I ask that you forgive me of my sin this morning. You sacrificed on the cross to pay the price, to pay the penalty for my sin so that I can have eternal life with you, and I am grateful for that. And I put my faith in you this morning, and I surrender my life to you today and every day to do your will. And I look forward to the day that you come back to bring me to eternal glory." And with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you said that prayer for the first time this morning, I want to be able to celebrate with you and to acknowledge you this morning. And so if that is you, and this is the first time you've ever said that prayer, I ask that you just look up and make eye contact with me, and that you raise your hand so I can acknowledge you and celebrate with you this morning. And if there's anybody online, you can also reach out to our pastor that's online as well. And for all of us, Lord, we ask for your strength to fight the battles that are before us. We can't do it on our own, but we are grateful that you do fight those battles for us, that you are a mighty God, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us, that you rejoice over us with singing, that you bear our shame, and we don't take that lightly. We give you all praise and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand with me, if you would, as we sing this closing song called "Mighty to Save." Thank you.
Someone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of a nation. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the as you find me, all my fears and failures, come fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I serve.
Jesus is our hero, our warrior, and our savior, and he can move the mountains, and he rose and conquered the grave because he is mighty to save. And so let's humbly surrender to our mighty God. So just a couple of announcements before we leave this morning. So one, if you did come prepared to give of tithes and offerings, we've got boxes on the back on your way out. You can also put those connect cards in that you filled out in those boxes as well. Also, we have pizza with the pastor this morning, right after this service in our fireside room. So if you're new with us or you've been with us for a while and just want to hear more about Faithy, Afterwards, go out these doors, you take a left, and it's in our fireside room. We'd love to be able to get together with you. And lastly, we'd love to pray with you as well. We all have battles that we are facing, right? We want to look up and take our eyes to the Lord. And so we would love to pray with you. If you have any prayers, requests this morning, I'd be up front. I'd pray with you. Turn to your neighbor as well. I'm sure that they would love to pray with you too. But let's just keep praying for each other. But as we close, I just want to speak 2 Chronicles 20:17 over you. It says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem, Billings and Faithy. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So as we face our daily battles, we have a mighty God who fights for us. I love you all. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next weekend.